like gagging him, like it was gone. And some things you can repair on instruments. That's not a repairable thing. That's it's done. And I was like, oh my god, that means district's out. That means state's out. That means everything's out. Like done, everything. And I was like so upset. And for some reason, it wasn't North Korea got involved here. That very, very, very lightly, but.
Wait a minute, what? I think I zoned out there for a minute and missed part of the story.
This is Last One Out. You're listening to the Comic Pop Library.
Ladybug, what are you doing? Why are you up?
I had a scary dream.
Uh-oh.
What was it about?
A monster.
A monster? A tickle monster.
So, last night, I posted an ad. Documentary filmmaker seeks proof of the supernatural. So why do people always summon demons, never angels? And these demons, is there any proof that they're real?
What makes you think there's not?
I haven't seen any.
You haven't been allowed to.
This is a bad idea.
Now you hear them, you don't answer. Because if you do, he will know you're listening, and he'll never let you go.
I can't sleep. And that static sound. I wish I could describe for you. It's like... I don't feel like myself at all. I don't know what to do.
We need to get you some serious help, all right?
Bug, what are you doing?
What is it? Are you all right?
The monster.
From your dream.
It's you, Daddy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Comic Popcorn Midnight Show. And I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan.
And with these shows, we are going to be looking at lesser known movies and cult shows of the genre and see what all, and it's going to be a mixed genre, so it's not of the genre, it's mixed genres all over the place. But in today's episode, we are going to be looking at The Possession of Michael King, and Lenny's going to be taking lead on these programs for us for the midnight showing, so Lenny, we'll let you take over.
Hello, everybody. The show that we are reviewing tonight is The Possession of Michael King. It was released in 2014 to three people. Oh, I'm just kidding. The director is David Jung, and he also wrote it, and he did the story, and he had another credit, but it doesn't show it on this page. And the stars, there weren't any. No, I'm just kidding. The stars were Shane Johnson. Ella Anderson was, I guess, his wife, Ellie King.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
probably.
Do you know who any of these people are? What? Kara Pifko, Crystal Alvarez, Thomas Arana. But anyway, I don't even know who they are in the story. It's about Michael King. He's the only real star, and that's Shane Johnson. Everyone else is just kind of a side part.
Yeah.
It's a documentary kind of style. It's not a documentary, but it's a styled film that makes... He sets up a whole bunch of cameras and kind of just follows him.
A la Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, a lot like Paranormal Activity in that factor, which, you know, of some people present don't like that kind of thing. So it was rated R for disturbing and violent content.
No.
Some drug use, though it wasn't normal drugs, and sexual material, though that wasn't normal either. And it doesn't say anything. It was made by Gold Circle Films and Quickfire Films.
Does it say if it was released in theaters or
something? No, it doesn't. Okay. So it probably wasn't. That's like to three people. I just happened to buy it in the store, and I was like, oh, this looks scary. So, and with all that said, I thought it was incredibly good.
Yeah.
Well, the concept, we want to go into that with what...
Yeah, do it. Somebody needs to know about this movie.
Thomas King.
Is it David Jung or Young?
How's it spelled?
With a J, but it could be a soft J, like Young.
Usually Young.
Yeah, but young. There's the Jaegers here, and they get all butthurt if you call Jaeger. Them Jaeger. But Chuck Jaeger, not from town, but the famous one, his name is spelled with a J. I don't care. I'm calling it Yogging, and I don't care what anyone says. R.J. Farrington played audience member.
We're going off on the deep end. We said we'd have drug use, but I don't know. Maybe we've had some here, too. I don't know.
Do we have the summary on there? Where's the CD? Where's the DVD?
There is a summary. It says, Michael King, Shane Johnson, who doesn't believe in God or the devil, following the sudden death of his wife, Michael decides to make his next film about the search for the existence of the supernatural, making himself the center of the experiment. And you guys noticed that he didn't go to any, like, you know, revivals where people like feel the Holy Spirit, and he didn't go talk to any big time reverends.
He went straight
for the devil whispers. He's like, let me talk to the devil because I hear God is hard to get.
Which is
and the priest told him it was easier to get the devil. God was busy and he took care of it. He starts out by going to this priest. That's the first guy he goes to.
And the priest is like straight up crackhead. About to die on an oxygen tank.
Not a priest. Like, I would, if I was walking down the street and saw that guy standing next to a homeless, smelly, like vagrant person with mange,
I
would assume the mangy person was the priest.
What type of candles do you use? It smells expensive.
Like that 19-year-old priest with lung cancer smoking on oxygen. And he wasn't 19, but he looked very young for.
I thought he looked old.
Yeah,
pretty old.
Well, he wasn't as old as me. I'll guarantee you that. So screw all of you.
And how old are you exactly?
None of your business.
Okay, Pan.
It doesn't grow old. This show is also known as Invocando al Demonio, Invocation of the Demon. I suppose is what
I
that means.
I could not do that.
Well, one of the things that was interesting.
And it's really short. It's only 83 minutes long, so you've got time for it, trust me.
It's one of those that it's, like you said, it's a documentary style. Some people like that, some people won't. It depends on the movie if I'd like it or not. Some of them are done well, some of them are kind of a little bit too much shaky cam type stuff.
I think this one's done really well.
This one's done where it's like it's actually set up. There's not a whole lot of this shaky cam like you've seen in other
setup cameras. Almost all of his cameras are on tripods or hooked up somewhere. They're stationary. And also,
he's not carrying around.
When there was a moving camera, they had a professional hired someone.
Videographer. Well, he was his friend, but
Okay.
Well, he said in the beginning his job was he was a filmmaker.
But either way, it was somebody
so this
that
was
knew
just
the
him
job.
Doing his job as in a way to kind of he was a skeptic and he wanted to be proven wrong because he missed his wife and he didn't want to believe she was really. Gone. That's my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He wanted to be proven wrong. That's why he went straight for the demonic stuff.
I just at the beginning of it, he goes to the fortune teller that his wife goes to, and he's like,
he's mad.
What'd you tell her? And she was like, oh yeah, she's gonna get on film. She's gonna be, because that's what her dream was, and you know. And he was like, oh really? Because she's dead, you know. But not my
point.
I
know where she's going with this.
But the fortune teller said she's gonna get on film.
So when his film was published after his death, because it was so traumatic, she will probably get some fame out of the deal.
She didn't say she was going to be alive.
That's how fortune telling works. You pretty much you
get interpret how
what you want to hear and you know or what you don't want to hear.
That's like when you make genie wishes, you got to make them very detailed.
You got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Sometimes even more so in D&D.
Well, one of the aspects of this, the shaky cams, when they did imply that and utilize that, it was where they were either scared a little bit or the guy was kind of freaking out in the basement where the satanic sexual ritual was going on.
Yeah. Well, and okay, let's go back to that satanic sexual ritual for one thing. First off,
let's go back
to that. That's these were the people that said it was just a gag. This is what people do for fun in California, people. And, you know, they're like, yeah, we're just screwing around, you know, draw some demonic symbols. We'll do an evil, like, twisted ritual in our basement. We're going to have sex on top of you. It's normal. Don't worry, we'll be wearing really creepy masks.
I honestly, though, I think there was... I think even if they didn't think so, they believed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they did have some legit practice.
I think they believed so 100%. And when he came back to the door all freaked out, they were trying to calm him down. And then and when they like, realized they couldn't. Fake. Yeah, when he was like, it's just a gag, man. And then whenever he realized, or, you know, as soon as she got there with the shotgun, they're like, get the hell out of our house. They didn't care what happened to him. Because obviously they fulfilled their contract. Like, okay, we got another skeptic in, and he's possessed now, so... my favorite thing about his possession was the ants. In the movie, there are these ants always present, and he eventually notices
there's
them.
At least one.
Yeah, on his body.
Yep.
Which would draw. Yeah, that in and of itself is demonic torture, because having a bug on you bugs you, and then you feel it kind of afterwards. Most people.
True. Phantom.
And then, yeah. Soul. And then if the damn bug keeps reappearing, and then in the end, never mind.
Do you have something, Jonathan?
I was going to ask, April, was it you who was asking, do you think, which part of the thing do you think was actually...
Where he was actually possessed, yeah, or was, where...
Was that you, or was that Logan?
I don't know, but that was discussed, and to me, oh wow, it's been a couple of weeks, and I have such short term.
Edit that, please, Michelle.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so, to me, it all... to me, it actually started. The door was opened when he went to the went to the big place.
Hang on a second. She said, "Hang on a second. I gotta go back." She said, and I quote, "I'm sorry. It's been a couple weeks, and I have just said short term something."
Oh, sorry. I thought you could figure out what I was saying.
It sounded like you forgot. People listening are did she forget to say memory loss?
No, that was just implied. I thought you would understand. I thought you would know.
I got it right away. I was just like,
no, that's called Alzheimer's.
I am my mother's daughter. Oh god. But no, so to me, when he first drew that really sketchy ant,
and he didn't even realize he was doing it.
That's where it started.
And I have to agree with you on that one. I think that's where it started too.
He went into the necromancy crap, and that just spurred it on, and it just got
One thing I wish that maybe the movie was 85 minutes long, and they went through like 2 minutes of like hoaxy stuff. Because other than the stuff he got on the internet, which there's no proof that didn't help.
They should have had some montage of him just
going to guys and them like, you know, using and him being like, I see a wire. And, you know, getting them maybe a little bit. And it could have taken like 2 minutes, you know. And so he goes to this priest. The priest is like a real believer in the devil. He's a priest, but he's a real believer in the devil. He doesn't really believe in God, but the devil, he's certain that guy will get you.
And to me.
And then he goes straight from, from that next scene is like,
I think that's the satanic,
basement satanic jizz scene. Yeah. Yes.
But no, scene? Wait.
That was the guy's like, and then right after that is the bar scene.
He did have one scene where it was him doing a really weak Ouija board. Yeah, or it was like some magic set. Like,
that's what I'm saying. He got stuff off the internet.
Yeah. But that was just one small scene.
And he didn't
do that. That's the one scene that he drew that ant demon thing, because that was the beginning of the thing. I thought he did the black candle thing at the beginning.
He did. And then he went to see the priest. And then he went to see the Satan worshippers.
The Satan worshippers said, here.
And they're the ones that gave him that pin.
Before we do anything, we got to find your demon. Because everyone's got a special demon, which makes me kind of want to find my demon. Not because I want to meet my demon. I'm just curious.
I hope you're not serious. I do get seriously like, not that way. Like, no.
Maybe
I want to run from my demon and hide from my demon as long as possible.
I mean, I don't want to delve into the information. I just want to know.
I don't want to know.
It's like guardian angels. People.
It's not a guardian, though.
It's not an angel any longer. You know, personality quizzes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm addicted.
Like, are you a Beelzebub or are you Baal? Are you more nefarious or are you a malevolent type person?
well, malevolent.
Would you burn down the school or raise the whole town?
Let's see. What April's talking about is what the priest warned him not to do.
Yeah.
He says, don't go looking, because once you start asking and calling, they will. that's the invitation to come in.
And you notice that immediately the demon isolated him.
Yeah.
Made him look crazy, you know, cut off. And the only person that would brave to come around him, it murdered, because it was in the way.
And the thing is that even while this was happening, it took him to just about the very end of the movie to accept, oh, okay, this is actually demonic activity. Yeah. This isn't just me.
Yeah, I think about the time where he's cutting the pentagram into his own chest and, like, laughing. I think that's about the time. And, you know, he starts spinning in the air, juxtaposing his body. That's about the time he's like, this might... In the, you know, it's cool because I think that secretly this movie's about something totally different. Like, secretly it's about how
heaven for her child.
This is Christian media because it goes directly with
church youth groups. Yeah. Get
sell,
on it.
Sell that. I think you could sell that. If Good, anyone could, sell, could that, sell that, it's you.
I will say, after this movie, I was jumping at my own shadows.
They were in it. So they're like, oh, it's about Catholics.
Wait, what?
Maybe that they were talking.
I heard the very beginning.
He was jumping at his shadows. You got to learn to listen while you talk.
I will admit, at the end of this movie, I was jumping at my own shadows. It was because you even noticed me. You were like, are you okay?
I'm
hurt something.
Yeah, Jonathan threatened my life the next day because he said, quote unquote, I did have a nightmare.
I did have a nightmare.
What was your nightmare about? Let's go into that for a little while.
Oh, okay. All right.
Was it like my nightmare?
No, it wasn't like your
actually sad. It wasn't
your clarinet dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. Can I go back on my tangent for a second? So I think, like, seriously, like the whole underlying theme of the movie is demons.
Never completed that. Go ahead.
Demons and gods and all that stuff are real, obviously. But then I think even deeper than that, it's like showing that the love of a father and a mother, like you were saying, being cheesy. Yeah. I don't know.
You're the father or the mother. I don't know what happened there.
Whoa. I think that's like the ultimate theme of the movie is that, the demon can take control of you, but there's a point, where if you're a father, then you'll kill yourself before you harm your daughter. Yeah. I thought it was a really redeeming quality. If the movie just snuffed if the demon just snuffed everybody out and killed him, that would have been pretty lame. And I've seen that happen in movies where they're just like, okay, the demon got you. Everybody's dead. Yes, the dog.
I did.
Yes, the goldfish.
And that's kind of a trend right now, because before, horror stories used to have a pretty decent ending. They didn't, but then
they always had the main lead and it's always a surprise. Which there's like three or four couples. Sometimes they're like already couples, but usually it's not the couples that came in together. It's like a movie formed couple,
the actual true loves.
Yeah. And it's,
but somebody would always survive, but here lately in the last 20 years it was like you said, everybody pretty much dies or somebody's
look at Dawn of the Dead.
They figured out, oh hey, people won't be expecting everybody to die, this is a great shock feature, and then it's overused. Now we're surprised when somebody does survive.
We're like, whoa, he lived. But didn't see that coming. Point.
I like how it focuses more on the demon itself and the process to he got there and him and his relations with it, because usually it's more about the family, the other people, and how it affects them. Like the daughter, I could very well see this film being more focused on the daughter and his sister, and
I think that would make a great movie. By the way, David Young, I think that you should make a movie like in 30 years about his daughter, fully grown and how screwed up she is, and totally pull a Stephen King on that one. No, because you don't have much to go on with her character. I mean, she leads in on the trailer, but really she's there, she's horrified, her father is scary. I mean, he's scary normal. He's normally he's scary.
He's a little scary.
Like the way he's acting in the park when the mom's still alive is kind of scary. He's a scary dude. And then the way he died after her mother died tragically, and she was right there. And then the way he died, that has got to be the most, like, I'd like to see her come back as a villain.
like as a Joker, because I mean that's how the Joker is made. That's the Joker's actual life story. They just didn't want to tell you that he was a real guy in Detroit. And
or I could see something else happening and not really focus on her, but maybe even a whole different family. But yeah. Either way, like what if she's in some mental asylum and she kind of takes that priest's place and she makes this little cameo, like that she's the old crazy bat they go and talk to.
Yeah.
But either way, I thought it was really, this is going to sound so bad, but you know, it kind of was a montage of him being tossed around by the demon, yeah, and his battle with him, you know.
Oh, that montage happened.
Don't kill my, yeah. I actually thought, I mean, you're going to hate the way, but I actually liked that. Not because I actually authentically like,
torture him. Yeah, yeah, get him. Get oh, it. Yeah, oh, break his arm backwards. Yeah, so just really tear him up.
So neat that, because you never see all that stuff. And I mean, even in like
you always see the after effects.
Well, yeah, and even in Last Exorcism, and you the ballet dancer, you know, and mm-hmm. she did her whatever
juxtaposition.
Because I know it's not contortionist.
No.
But
well, it's close.
They
it's
always
just worse.
Show that stuff, but it's always very small. And usually when they do, like, the people run
it's
away.
It's the cut scene. It's yeah, like, they yeah. juxtapose
so
all of a sudden,
they,
and then everyone's like,
they didn't scare away from that. They were just like, show it.
Well, I mean, the great thing about it is, since he had all the cameras set up, and
there's
you know,
no
he had the one on him.
It.
Yeah. My favorite scene with the was where he's sitting there, like, talking to the demon, reasoning. He's like with Oprah. Okay, so if I tell you I believe in
I've
you,
I've had a bad day today.
Will yeah. you leave me alone? Because no. I'm really tired and I actually want to sleep now. Like, actually sleep, not crazy demon dreams, but actual sleep. And then, you know, I think the point where, like, you know, we've talked in other movies about the stages of possession.
Are you wearing Crocs?
Yep.
No, they're just really cheap Walmart
sandals.
That Crocs commercial brought to you by April.
No, but these McDonald's fries are delicious. Send me a check, Ronald. So, yeah, I forgot where it was.
Good. Jonathan, what'd you have to say?
Nightmare time.
Yeah. And actually, April kind of introduced that kind of a little bit, because that was what my nightmare was about, except I was the one being...
The montage?
Yeah. Except I was the one being possessed, and...
I could see that.
Like, yep. The podcast crew was in there and everything.
Hey. And we're just twisting you up like a
pretzel. I was there, actually. And the funny thing
actually,
is...
Actually, you were the first one to go.
In my dream, it was exactly the same as yours. It was you being tortured, and I just had a bag of popcorn.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's why you were the first one to get your throat slit in my dream.
Oh God.
You guys didn't see
that. That's that love-hate relationship that you guys have here. I don't know.
Where's the love? That's what I want to know.
Did I die?
Yeah, you got drowned.
Ooh.
Yeah, he just
I
beat me
water.
To death. He just beat
you
me.
You know, I'm not really scared.
Actually, you got the best one.
They're all like,
you got hit by a car.
Like, they're all
the
like, you got your throat slit. You got everyone's in my dream. You got your throat slit. Everyone I meet's like, in my dream, you got your throat slit. But no, like in real life, slitting someone's throat, it's not going to be like a little piece of work. Like honestly, if you just make a simple, especially if it's a really clean wound,
yeah,
they can just, you know, and then
like,
they live.
You go,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you go deep, I'm like, just okay, then
well,
you just shrug
like,
more,
like,
you know, like
when my mom is in
her like the in the movies, they're always like, oh, you they're like,
when my
oh, it slit, look, you know, like
well, I have a point with that. When my mom and
so
her,
go ahead and slit
her
my throat,
siblings
dog.
Were younger and everything, she her brother was running through a pasture and caught his neck on.
Fire?
Some wire.
Mm, that makes more sense.
And it slid it, and that's exactly what he just kind of
held
it down and went. And
well, there was
something.
This lady somewhere that was so lazy, and I'm not lying, she actually broke her neck by slouching. So,
ouch.
You know, and a man's been on the moon. So lots of crazy shit happens, but I'm just saying normally, like, if somebody slices your throat, just, you know, grab it and kind of go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll be okay.
Just in case.
Unless it's,
just
like Richard said,
case.
What you're not going to die from the lack of oxygen if you hold it shut. It's the
Pretty
bleeding.
Sure your nose.
Yeah, well, it's the bleeding from your arteries that'll get you.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind that. I just don't like water.
You know what? You know what I really love about dreams? I don't have them. No, I'm just kidding. I really love about
I
like
I don't have dreams. I have kids.
That kind of yeah, my dreams are gone. that kind of horror, you know, that you, and I mean, I don't know, you kind of were mad at me about it, but
yeah, well, I wasn't really mad
for
I
me
was...
like if I watch a movie and it does enough to me in my mind to have a horror dream, and actually I've lost it, I have nothing yeah. to say. Have a horror dream, and
you've lost it a long time ago, but
thanks. You know, I think they're really, like, that's really intense, and you know, I just, you don't get scared in a movie situation watching a show with your friends like you do in your dream. Like when you wake up in the night and you just had a terror dream, whether it be about that or anything. I mean, I've had some bad ones. That's real fear. That's like, if you could emulate that in a movie, if you could take that experience and put it on a screen for someone, that's a blockbuster right there. Because that's, I mean, and I, the funny thing is they could be about your clarinet, and they can be about a demon ripping you up, and Lynn, of course, and you and Lynn, a demon ripping you and Lynn apart, but you are lucky enough you get to watch Lynn first.
I'm the demon.
Yeah, you're the demon. Oh, you were the demon in your dream. So why was it scary?
I don't know. It was just a whole...
That's right where you want to be.
Yeah.
When you woke up, you were sad because I was still alive.
maybe. Possibly.
That's messed up, John.
I mean, it wakes up. I wake up every day.
He said it wakes up. Did you hear that? He said it wakes up.
Is Lenny still alive?
Do you know the anime/book series, whichever way you look at it, Sword Art Online, SAO? It's about, and if you go back farther, Dragon Drive, it's about full immersion into the video game world. You know, like 3D stuff. What if we got that? Not only for video games, but for movies and stuff.
They're trying.
That could help with that a lot, because when you feel like you're actually there, or maybe just simple isolation. I mean, when you are in
have a horror movie at an IMAX.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Oh yeah.
But like when you're in a dark theater room, first off, you're right beside whoever you're with. So that automatically to me cuts down the fear, because I can just throw them under the bus. You know?
That's why you're always grabbing a hold of each other. You don't realize that, but you're like getting ready to throw it at the monster.
They want hugs. I just want, like, blocks.
Prepare.
You know?
Here you go.
But,
here,
and
take
also,
him first.
And also, the screen.
Never
so
sat
big.
By April at a movie, by the way.
Right.
The screen's so big and so bright. I mean, it cuts everything to me. So if, like, somehow isolation is key.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see, with this movie, I could see where, you know, how they have those idiotic commercials where they have the people screaming in the audience and stuff, like for
like
the horror movies.
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm just getting paid.
I could see it with this movie, to be honest with you.
This is a good one. I actually recommended this to, like, some friends were talking about The Visit and everything, and I was like, what you need to watch is this one. And I actually knew the name of it at that time. Yeah, I was like, it's Michael Keane, because I was like, if you liked whatever creepy crap they were talking about, like this.
Yeah, this is the creepiest crap around, man. Trust me. This is the creepy crap that you'll be cropping about all week.
Cropping about?
Yeah. Crapping about, I
oh,
said,
crapping.
Actually. Yeah.
I thought you said cropping.
That's
I
talk.
What the heck? Oh, okay. All right, I see.
So,
JK.
You're full of crap.
JK, yeah. LOL.
But honestly, I thought it was, I mean, yeah, it wasn't scary to me. It was just really intriguing and neat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like I said, the horror movie experience itself isn't what I'm there. I'm not there to be scared anymore. I'm too old for that. And maybe not. But I did, in this one, the first time I've seen it, by the time I saw it with you guys, like the 10th time. The first time I saw it, I'll admit, I jumped several times. Yeah. Not just the jump factor, but also just like it was, I mean, I was watching it in the dark by myself late at night. So I didn't have that teddy bear.
Like you were,
I didn't have my teddy bear to throw under the bus. So
here's a plug. Hey, Dan Is Not On Fire is a YouTuber, and so is Amazing Phil, and they have this channel, Dan and Phil Gaming Games. You know, and
got it, Dan and Phil Games. Check them out.
Go. They're awesome. But anyways, and they do all sorts of games, but they have done, you know, like Slender Man and Oculus and all this stuff. And their very first thing they do is, you know, is like, you know what we do, full immersion, and they turn out all the lights and they block out all the noise and everything.
Wow.
You know, and they're the biggest babies in the world. So, you know,
their nose is running, they're crying, they're like,
but which program?
Oh my god.
But yeah, and I mean, it just goes to full immersion all the way, you know.
Wow.
Make it as scary as possible for you, because if you're like,
oh, yeah,
But that would be cool. A horror movie in broad daylight?
No.
Hard to do.
It'd be
hard to do.
It depends on the style of horror. I mean, really, honestly, with some mirrors, a little bit of smoke, and some clever illusion, you could make a horror movie right in the streets for people in broad daylight and scare the crap.
Crack and cocaine and marijuana, yeah, that would
I told Stuco.
Sorry,
Stuco at our school. At
I'm talking about David Blaine floating in the street in New York. Like, no one actually believes that David Blaine levitates in New York. But you know,
he does. Come on, man.
I know, and the zombies will be
with
here
the,
next week.
With the invisible wires.
You know what? The other day, I was driving to Garden, which is a place to the listeners. Anyways, I was driving to Garden.
And to a place.
She's not driving around our garden in the backyard. No,
but so I was driving there, and I have instilled in me to wave. When a car, you know, it's just a thing.
Every single car.
You're not like me. You're not like me.
Good
it's
thing
like,
you don't live in
hey,
Dallas.
Hey, hey, hi.
I do that too when I'm on the side of the road and trying to get a ride. I'm like, hey.
But I wave, and it was like on right outside the city, and like this butterfly passed by my window, and I was like, hey, and I waved at it.
That's not a bad story.
There was no vehicle.
It's okay.
Around.
It's okay to wave a butterfly.
I wasn't even paying attention to it. I was like kind of on autopilot. I was just like, motion.
Hi, Mr. Butterfly. Oh, wait. I'm doing? Not crazy.
And with the butterflies, I think we're going to leave it at that. I think with this is one that's probably going to be for your horror friends, be one that'll be good to check out.
Definitely mature audiences only.
Yeah. It is rated R.
Explicit.
They'll enjoy it. It's one of those that is a little bit more unique than the others that are out there. For a smaller budget movie, it was really done with a lot of attention to detail. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So this would be one to be able to add to a collection or your personal collection easily. And we'll have the links and everything. Not the links, but we'll have the information on what the ASIN number is and the price that you can look for and try to get it at. To shift gears a little bit, we've said we were going to try to do some stuff with Facebook and emails and stuff, but to go with a heavy subject, we're going to end on a light note. Some of these, the three characters here in the room, they don't really know about some of the stuff I post. Some they might look at some of the stuff.
Yeah,
maybe.
I look at some of it. I don't not on the internet very often. I don't have.
I look at
have access
some of it too.
We posted
April doesn't care. She's
the Unbroken single from East Love, and they sent us a thanks through Facebook and shared it with their fans and everything. So we appreciate that. And Robbie Fink got in touch with me for that one. So we appreciate all that. And then Nicholas Wells, we posted a link for his video, Empty Coffee Cups, which was a good song. And he sent us a Facebook message back saying thanks for the great review. Looking forward to having you do the whole album. So hopefully maybe one of these days we'll get that album and do something for him with the whole album. But those two gentlemen, we appreciate you sharing the links and sharing the love with us. And if you are interested in getting in touch with us, you can do it at admin@comicpoplibrary.com or go to Facebook, look for Comic Pop Library, and you can get in touch with us in those two ways. You had something, Jonathan, real fast?
No.
Ah, raising your hand. Just raise your hand.
Yeah, I was just stretching.
Stretching, okay. I think we'll leave out on that unless there's anything else we really want to touch on.
Nope.
We had fun this evening. We hope you had fun listening. We will see you on the next showing.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library.
We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.